Hi, I've talked a lot about how food expresses who we are, and now I'd like to do that through bread. This week I want to give you a pretty literal example, the persona loaf, how my friends became flavors of sourdough. All this, and I'm teaching cooking classes. This is Zach Martinucci, and welcome to Against the Grain. I've always found there to be a surprising amount of personification involved in cooking. My roommates point out that I talk to most of the foods that I prepare. I want it to be comfortable and happy and loved. And food is always a conversation, although maybe I've taken this chat a little too literally. Allison, my mother yeast, and before her, Patricia, Faircloth, and mother, they've all had definitive personalities. It could be worth its own episode to talk about Allison's emotions and voice and what I assume is sentience, partially kidding, but when I first started baking persona loaves, it may have been the first time I intentionally set out to bake personality into bread. Over a year ago now, I had dinner with some close friends and they gave me the idea. We looked at our friend Hiju, who was sitting at the table with us. She's sweet, spicy, and a little nutty. What could we do for her? A few days later, the first persona loaf was born, the Spicy Hij, classic sourdough with spicy candied pecans, cranberries, and cayenne. And it's actually turned out to be one of my most popular flavors, but I'm getting ahead of myself. In the following months after that dinner, the whole persona loaf business would get out of hand, and became the cornerstone for my apartment-based Centro Città bread bakery. Friends asked me to design flavors for themselves and their friends. I loved the conversations we got to have about character and personality, and the end results were pretty tasty. A lot of people wonder how that works to design a loaf, so here's how it goes down. In an ideal situation, I get to sit down with the recipient of the persona loaf and a few of their friends. I ask the friends, so how does your friend, your soon-to-be bread friend, how do they show up in the world? Give me some ideas. Almost always they try to be clever, knowing that this is for a loaf of bread, and say things like, oh, Jared is really crusty. You should make a crusty loaf. And Rachel is salty and stale. You should make it stale and salty. Aha, okay. Good work, team. So now the way this works after that is you just give me adjectives, thoughts, feelings. I want to compose a cohesive picture of your friend. And then later, I'll start matching ingredients. Personality first, ingredients second. So really this time, how does Caitlin show up in the world? Well, she's classy. My college friends would probably say classy AF, and sophisticated, but also with this like sultry badass vibe when she wants to. She knows who she is, and she takes a stand for the things she cares about. She's not afraid to tell you the things she cares about. I called Caitlin's loaf bad and bougie. It had to be just sweet enough, although savory, with a classy vibe and some strong sophisticated flavors. Rosemary sourdough with balsamic reduction, local avocado honey, and extra virgin olive oil. Some other winning loaves include Ars Revenge for the bold and intelligent Rajul, chocolate sourdough with dark chocolate chunks, candied oranges, cinnamon, olive oil, A Latte Love, which was my favorite food for a while, dark, spicy, and sweet like a fancy cup of coffee brewed warm for Kevin. It was a chocolate, cold brew infused sourdough with candied hazelnuts and cinnamon. Kevin also got another loaf for his other personality called The Biggest White Girl, which had ribbons of homemade strawberry rosé jam. And there were peanut butter and jam swirls in Les Petits Poulets. It was like a loving, sophisticated PB&J, which pretty much sums up our friend Haley. Spiced peanut butter with cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon, and French raspberry jam. And mine was a spicy chocolate hazelnut with some cold brew for good measure. I'd like to think that it was bold in a thoughtful, somewhat understated kind of way, and made you think twice about a familiar flavor that you were seeing in a new way. Okay, Zach, so you baked some weird bread. What did it all mean? Well, just as I was settling into routine with classic sourdough, I got to try something new with this flavors project. I did get to keep the routine baking schedule, which I enjoyed, but added an entirely new element of creativity. Each week had surprises as I waited for new orders. Variety is the spice of life, after all. That and cayenne. I also got to work with a variety of flavor profiles and ingredients, limited only by my friends' personalities and my own willingness to challenge myself with bread flavors. I was rewarded with novel culinary moments, like the smell of freshly grated cloves for Les Petits Poulets peanut butter, and learning to make jam for The Biggest White Girl, and the chattering sound of cooling pumpkin seeds for Maeve. which you don't always get to experience if your bread baking is limited to just flour, water, salt, and yeast. Persona loaves also extend a personal relationship from my baking. The project was really more about my friends than the food. Each order sparked a conversation about who my friends are, how they show up in the world, and how we're going to tell that story. Sourdough became a canvas to tell simple stories about the people in my life. And when they were gifts from friends to friends of friends, with the furthest being shipped from LA to Florida, I was a little farther removed, and now they were stories about the people and those communities. One of my arguments as a baker, you know, like in my lifelong baking thesis, is that sourdough is an excellent canvas for storytelling. Hear me out. If you were to ask me to create a meal to represent your personality, we'd have so many choices to make. How many courses are in this meal? Where are we getting the ingredients? Are they local or seasonal, store-bought? What recipes are we using? Should we even be using recipes? Wait, sorry, if we are doing courses, do they go in order, like a traditional meal? Are we doing an appetizer and first course? Or are we just going to use different dishes one after the next? And is it going to be 7 dishes or 9 or just 3 to keep it simple? What kind of cuisine should it be? Maybe a fusion? Many fusions? I'm already overwhelmed by this, and we haven't even talked about the food. So now to bread. We could, of course, choose to complicate this a bit by using different kinds of bread, but I've decided to always use the same base sourdough formula. Done. Now you get 2, 3, really a max of 4 flavor additions before things start to get lost. The architectural approach I prefer, if you will, is to have a base flavor or texture. So that would be like adding herbs or polenta or sweet potato to the dough. Then something that stands out. It's usually chewy, like a dried cranberry or sun-dried tomato, maybe a jam. And then some crunch or more texture, a nut, a seed, and that's it. I've been told that this process follows some of the fundamental principles of good art. Creativity comes from restriction. You need to restrict yourself to whatever your canvas is, or the idea gets lost. And you can't start by just painting. The idea has to come first, and then how to best execute that idea should naturally fall into place. Personality first, ingredients second. Because sourdough has this restriction, I mean, it's this contained and pretty familiar unit of bread. You know how to approach it. And then you get to taste the entire picture in each bite, and those new flavors jump off the sourdough canvas, so you can immediately tell what's different, what's unique, and what story this particular loaf of bread is telling. I told you a few weeks ago that I always have a story to tell, and those stories take different forms. I've played around with blog posts, academic papers, short films, social media campaigns, now a podcast. I don't have a favorite, just different media for different times in my life. In retrospect, I don't think I started baking bread for the baking side of it. I think bread found me when I needed a new medium to tell a new story. I, of course, believe that food and identity are closely intertwined. Food tells us so much about social relationships, historical intricacies, changing perspectives, and more. So I hope this bread stands as one small but convincing example of what we have to learn from food. And I want to remind you that this persona loaf story started over a year ago, so I've had a lot of time to think about it, and as I grow the platform that is Rebel Bread, I'm now thinking about how to bring this conversation to Denver. In a few weeks to a few months, I'm going to release some persona loaves for Denver neighborhoods, community spaces, and events, kind of to do the same thing I did with my friends in bread, but on a bigger scale. Again, for entire communities of people to enjoy. I have an idea of what this is going to look like and how it's going to happen. I'll let you in at least on the idea. It's called the All My Friends Are Bread Tour, which I love, and I didn't come up with the name, my friend Callahan did. And it actually could be a pretty big deal for Rebel. But I don't want to say any more just yet. There's more that has to happen first, and I want to be more established here before I start baking crazy bread. So I'm going to ask you to wait, and we'll come back to All My Friends Are Bread later. But I'm so excited. In the meantime, some other updates. Rebel Bread is an up-and-coming community bakery and bread school, and today I have updates from both sides. Bakery. There are more pop-ups in the future. Again, I'm kind of traveling this and next week, so I've only done some small baking for private events. Saturday, April 21st, we'll be at the Rebel Workout. The name is just a coincidence, they had it first, on South Broadway and Alameda for a sourdough pop-up event. They're hosting a special boxing class with mimosas that morning too, so it should be a good time. I've also revised my plan a little for the rest of the introductory pop-up tour. The goal, of course, is to get bread into as many hands as I can. Some of that will be dependent on my making larger quantities, hopefully with the pizzeria collaboration working out soon. I'm also trying to create meaningful relationships with the people that are interested in Rebel Bread. So as fun as the surprise pop-up tour is, I can't expect people to be running all over town chasing Instagram announcements. The new current plan is to be established in three neighborhoods for recurring pop-up events. For example, you could come to expect that we'll be around South Broadway the second Saturday of every month. I'd plan to have three Saturdays each month consistently booked, so you know where to find us, and then one wild card weekend so we can continue to meet new parts of town. Amethyst Coffee Company has graciously agreed to be one neighborhood partner, so we will see you there this summer. Dates and other venues to be announced soon. Bread School. Starting in just a few weeks, I'm going to be teaching pasta classes. Yes, pasta. It's not bread. I haven't found an ideal space with an oven yet, but I did find the River North Workshop, which offers an inclusive workshop teaching space for makers of all kinds. And when I decided to found a bread school, I really wanted to call it a dough school, but I thought that might confuse people. Handmade pasta was my first food passion before bread. And as maybe you guessed from hearing about my time in Italy a few weeks ago, I spent a lot of time with Italian grandmothers, chefs, families, and cooking school teachers learning a variety of pasta. A pasta class was always going to be in the Rebel Bread curriculum. We're just going for it sooner rather than later. I'm so excited to start getting some teaching experience and share one of my favorite foods with Denver. On the evening of May 3rd, I'll be teaching Make Gnocchi Like an Italian Grandmother at the River North Workshop on 31st and Blake. We'll be hand-rolling potato gnocchi dumplings and then whipping up three sauces and eating them one after the next. Fresh basil pesto, creamy gorgonzola and walnuts, and a personal favorite from the Italian-Jewish playbook, Parmigiano cinnamon sugar. You bring the wine, I bring the accordion music. Should be lots of fun. 2 weeks later, same idea but with tortellini, the authentic Bolognese way. Alessandro's way, at least. In a couple weeks, I'm hosting a dress rehearsal for some friends, and truthfully, I've taught this class so many times just to my friends in my apartment, except we just called it dinner, not class. So now, for this official version, I'm writing my lesson plan and gathering ingredients and supplies. I've got lots of technique stories and life lessons in pasta to fit into 2 hours, and I'm having fun with that challenge. Baking and teaching are the two main public ventures for Rebel Bread. But next week I want to tell you about all of the workflows that I think about each day, because baking bread and teaching bread turns out to actually be like juggling 8 different balls in the air at any given time. Until then, happy Sunday, happy end of Passover, and have a great week. This track was Eat the Week by the Dingo Neck Street Band on Free Music Archive.